From Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Share with me in prayer. Engage these moments by the work of your Holy Spirit. Equip us to live our lives in harmony with the gospel and out of your steadfast faith. Grant us courage to be your servant people. And it will be in the wonderful and beautiful name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. We continue in our sermon series of I Am a Church Member, inspired by the writing of Thomas Rainer and giving us the opportunity to reflect on several key components. Today is the third element of this series, out of which our own personal preferences and desires are to be examined, that they might be in harmony with Christ Jesus our Lord. Rainer has throughout this work engaged us at several levels, but one of the limitations of his text is captured in this morning's title, My Church. Have you ever been talking to somebody and said, I want to invite you to come to my church? Would seem appropriate. And every now and then, you and I are captured into that essence that somehow we are that integral part of what makes the body of Christ, because we're in it. Instead of seeing, it's Christ. Church. It's his body. And we're merely extended by grace an invitation to be a part of his church, not my church. One of the fun illustrations I've shared with you was when I was a superintendent of 9 different counties in southern Ohio. One of the churches of those 163 that I superintended had a funny story about it. They had within the small internal part of the main original building a kitchen. It was filled with wonderful dishes and silverware and all kind of adornments that every good kitchen should be filled with. And it was all under lock and key. You were not allowed to have access to that unless you were one of the 3 ladies that had a key that would let you in and let you out and make sure everything was put back where it was supposed to be. When that church was growing in its mission and its vision to serve the community, they built a large family life center in addition to that, but they decided to build a second kitchen. That one could be for those who come that need to use a kitchen, but they're not allowed to use our kitchen. Wonder whose kitchen it is anyway, friends. Sometimes it is more my kitchen than it is Christ's kitchen. Sometimes it falls into us because we somehow believe we have a level of responsibility, and that is to manage it under our watch instead of under his watch. Jesus would gather his disciples together in Mark chapter 9, and when he had them together, he said to the 12, "If any one of you wants to be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Those of you that are confirmands, you might be excited today because you think now is your opportunity to join the church, to take control and be like some of the adults you've met already in your life who've told you you can do this and you can do that and you can do other things. Remember meeting those folks? Just remember what Jesus' words are. If you want to be first, you must be last of all and servant of all. The servant motif throughout the New Testament is prolific. 57 times the word servant is used. 58 times the word serve is used. Thus, over 100 plus times, we encounter the nature of servanthood and service as being the primary quality of what it means to be a member and to serve. It doesn't give you position or authority. It gives you opportunity to surrender. When Jesus talks about servanthood, he lays it out for his disciples. And then in John's gospel, more brilliantly, he takes off his robe. He puts on the robe of a servant. He dons himself with a towel and he washes the feet of his disciples and then gets back at his place as head of that table and says, "Do you know what I've done for you?" Watch his example, not ours. There is this moment that Jesus makes relevant the nature of servanthood. The Apostle Paul pleads for us out of Ephesians, and now this morning in the text to the Philippians, this plea that we would have the mind of Christ, the willingness to serve as he emptied himself. There was a survey recently done of congregations who have typically found themselves to be pretty typical among Protestant congregations in America. Congregations that are typically described as inwardly focused. These are the characteristics of such a church. Congregations like this are typically in worship wars, the survey says. They argue over what hymn we're allowed to sing, or what prayer we're supposed to say, or who's entitled to say it, or why they say it, or where they say it. There are these conflicts. Not that we should worship, but what's right worship. There are elements out of which these congregations not only are inwardly concerned, it was demonstrated when I took a survey of a congregation in which I was lead pastor. In the first 2 months, I sent a survey around and said, "Tell me what would make this church grow." And the number one comment was, "Sing the Gloria Patri." There's a chance none of you who are confirmands know that. So I won't ask you to sing it today. And there's a good chance most of us out there might be racking our brain. Can we remember that tune? And could we sing those words? It's almost like the offertory response at times is found within traditional worship. I doubt if it would have set that church on fire to be the number one choice they made. Congregations that are inwardly focused often have prolonged minutia meetings. Oh. Let's move to the next one. They're often facility focused. Oh. They're program driven. Their budget is inwardly focused, not missionally minded. There's an inert demand for pastoral care. And if the pastor can't do it, it probably ought not to be done. There's an attitude of entitlement. There's a greater concern about change that happens than the gospel that should change us. There are times of anger and hostility in the fabric of that congregation. There is an evangelistic apathy, an inordinate inability to share the nature and radical love of Christ. Truly brings us to our letter from the Philippians today. Paul pleading for us to take on the mind of Christ. To you as confirmands, it is that offering of the simple example that Jesus lays out for us as a church. What did Jesus do? He did not consider himself equal with God to be used for his own advantage. Examine your own prayer life during Lent and ask whether or not you're lifting up to God all the things you need God to do for you, or are you asking God to use you as a servant for his will? He emptied himself, assuming the form of a slave. Most of us appreciate recognition. We especially appreciate the outwardly acknowledgement of our labors and ambitions. And yet Jesus took on the form of a servant, washed their feet, and said to them, if your master and Lord would do this for you, should you not do that for one another? Jesus humbled himself. Have you ever met anyone who told you they're the most humble person you've ever met? My dear friend Earl used to say, as soon as somebody tells you they're humble, they're not. Welcome to the model of Jesus. He became obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. Imagine with me whose church it really is. Which of you have been willing to lay down his life for a friend, let alone for his enemy? Let alone for the one who Christ has given as an example for all, the gift of the power of his saving grace. This morning, you and I can witness what it means to set our preferences and desires aside and take on the mind of Christ. To bear witness to what it means to be servant of all. What would it look like if Armstrong Chapel, let alone the entire Christian church, would stop being inwardly focused and would take on the mind of Christ? Then the renewal of the world and the reformation that the Spirit and the Word proclaims might truly begin. We no longer take care of ourselves. We take care of those that God has entrusted to our care. Each and everyone in the abundance of God's love. This morning, I'll invite you to make a third pledge. We pledged about unity. We pledged about faithfulness with God. And today, we pledge that the church, I am a church member. I will not let my church, Christ Church, be about my preferences and desires. That is self-serving. I'm a member in this church to serve others and to serve Christ. My Savior went to the cross for me. I can deal with any inconveniences, any matters that aren't my preference or style. Are you willing to make such a commitment of faith? Amen.